So I'm going to take a little bit of time, not an extended amount of time, to talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about it today. I may even talk about it next Sunday. Then I'm going to go on and get us up to Easter, talking about Jesus. After Easter, I'm thinking about doing about 4, 5, 6 weeks on the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you why, and you'll understand why with this sermon. But I believe, help me today, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty, whence He shall come and judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic, or the word Catholic means universal church, Apostles' Creed. And it's very important because that creed is held up for thousands of years by many different denominations. It's the essential doctrine that most people across many different platforms of belief say that we can agree to that. We do a thing around here called, in the essentials, we must have unity. In the essentials, that would be this, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Those are the essentials to the doctrine. Those are heaven and hell issues, you might say. In the non-essentials, we can have liberties. You say, well, I was brought up a different way than you. I went to a different denomination. I was raised in a different church. We've got about 23 different backgrounds of church people here. How do we get along? I don't even know. Sometimes we don't. But anyway, we come from different walks of life. But when we come here and we gather here together, we make this more our essential. And so we say in the non-essentials, we must have liberty. Different people are at different stages in their faith. Some are weaker in their faith. Some are stronger in their faith. But we're all growing. None of us has obtained yet. We're not there yet. But then we say in all things, we must have charity or love. We must have love one for another. Even if somebody's a little weird and they believe a little different, we got to still love them because God said we got to love everybody. And so today I want to talk about, I didn't finish, the communion of the saints, forgiveness of sins. Sorry about that. The resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. And then it brings us to here. Do not be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That's what I'm going to talk about today, because in that Apostles' Creed, it talks about the Spirit. You've got to believe the Spirit. Do you know the Spirit is, it's the part of the Trinity, the Apostle. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They asked a pastor one time, they kind of sprung it on him, said, how, if you were going to grade your congregation on what they know about the Holy Spirit, what kind of grade would you give them? The pastor thought for a minute, and he goes, well, to be honest, probably about a C-. And he said, why is that? The Bible, we talk about the Father. The Father we know, the Son we know. Paul and some of the disciples got to this man that said, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? He said, we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. I think there would be a lot of people hard-pressed to tell you a whole lot about the Holy Spirit in most churches today. You go, well, there's a good reason that those people filled with the Holy Spirit are kind of crazy people. Those Pentecostal people. And I know the Pentecostal people thought they had the corner on the market, but they don't. They're not the only ones filled with the Holy Spirit. This week, I was off all week from being at the church. I had that dental appointment on Monday, and you know, you have to get over it. And all week I was at home, and I'm kind of bored. I would read and I would listen to songs, and I just felt myself just being filled up with God. And it was something I missed. It's something that I treasure. It's something I hadn't done in a while. We get so busy serving God, we don't have any time for God. And so, by Wednesday or Thursday, I was just like, man, I can't wait to get back in the pulpit. I can't wait to... Then they had Billy Graham's funeral. How many watched that? Wasn't that amazing? If you haven't watched it, I shared it on Facebook. You can watch the whole 80-minute funeral. It was awesome. Billy Graham, his dad, one time, they asked, he was a businessman, had a dairy farm. They said, they were saying, we need a place for a bunch of people to gather. We're going to pray for a revival in our nation. And we're asking God to raise up some, you know, some people to go to the world and preach the gospel and change our world. Now, Billy Graham's dad said, well, y'all can use my farm if you want to. So out on his farm there, they begin to preach the gospel and pray for revival in our nation. Well, Billy Graham's father had the farm, the dairy farm, and so Billy Graham is a, you know, he lives on the farm. He's 15 years old. He milks cows. And who would have ever thought that because Billy Graham's dad had this thing at his farm that his son was going to be called to be the guy to go to the world with the gospel? I believe that real pastors are called. The joke is, you know, some are called, some are sent, some just pack up their bag and went. Those are the ones you don't want as a pastor. But you want a God-called pastor. You want somebody that believed that God called them into this ministry. Because when you're called, I believe people need to be called to a church. And when you're called to a church and you go, I want to be a part of this local body because there's other bodies, you need to stay through the thick and thin. You need to be the backbone. You need to be the ones that are there. People should see your faithfulness. I just believe that. I believe you're called. Called to a ministry. Well, Billy Graham was called during that meeting. And he said it was a distinct call. I knew that God had saved me and God had called me to do a ministry. That ministry they were talking about, God was calling me, a 15-year-old boy, to do it. So, you know, he had to finish up with school and stuff, and he kept staying in church, staying in the Bible. And he finally went to Florida, and he started a little Bible, you know, a little Bible college type thing, non-credited Bible college, kind of like we've done here, faith-based type college. And so there, you know, don't bring in no money. You're just trying to help people get into the Word. He did that in Florida. Well, he also, to supplement income, he became a caddy. And he would tote these guys' golf clubs and, you know, kind of direct them a little bit on the golf course. And so as these businessmen would get to know Billy Graham, they'd go, well, what's your story? And he said, well, my story is I actually moved to Florida to do a ministry, and I'm trying to get started and trying to get it off the ground and, you know, and what he's doing, and I do this just on the side. And so they got to liking Billy Graham. They started asking for him to be their caddy. And over a period of time, these guys say, hey, we like you. We're going to help support your ministry. And so God started bringing along some support to support his ministry. As time went on, Billy Graham, he tried about 6 months of pastoring. If you're not called to pastoring, you're not going to be good at it. He done it for about 6 months and he quit. I mean, he said, that's not for me. And he assisted in a church one time. Well, then he got to a point that he was going to do these evangelistic tent revivals. And he started doing these little tent revivals. And before you knew it, it blew up into this worldwide, nationwide, worldwide ministry. And he tells, and some of his family was telling this at his funeral, that one time he had, I read so much stuff on this week, it's unbelievable, but it just fed my soul. And I believe that Billy Graham was a very anointed, spirit-filled and led man. He went to one crusade, and he said it was a total failure. And, you know, probably would most ministers say, man, I'll take that. That was great. But he thought it was a total failure for the time that they invested and all they'd done in it. And he went out in the woods, and he knelt down on this stump in the woods. And he began to cry out to God and said, God, why was I a horrible failure? Why did it not work out? Why did it not go well? And he began to seek God and ask God, and he cried out to God. And so he made a decision that he would never go back in the pulpit again without spending some time with God. He realized that the worldwide ministry was not going to be about Billy Graham. It's going to be about the Spirit of the living God, that the Spirit would have to draw people to salvation. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. And so he needed the Spirit drawing. It wasn't going to be Billy Graham's elegant words. He wasn't even going to hardly have any words. He's just going to read the scripture and comment on the scripture, and he's going to let the Holy Spirit do it. He realized he was just a vessel in the hands of God. And so after this long time in prayer at this stump, the next thing he tells his congregation about going to that stump and committing himself to being a Spirit-led evangelist, and that he wanted God to move in his ministry. And he said, this service is in the hands of God. And he did that. And after that, every meeting seemed like it got bigger and better and bigger and better. They had a guy from Korea there that told about when Billy Graham come to Korea, and that at his funeral, and he said that, you know, they told me, I want to know where he's at, because, you know, I'm supposed to kind of welcome him to Korea and come out on the stage and all that. And he said, here I was. They said, well, he's in the back room back there. And he said, well, I thought, you know, that meant I have permission. You know, it's my country and I'm here representing it. So he said, I walked back there and I thought, well, I'm going to get to go back and be in a green room and talk to the great Billy Graham. And he said, when he walked back there, he saw the great Billy Graham down on his knees, crying before God, begging God to touch these people in Korea. He said, I'll never forget the agony in his soul praying for people that he barely knew. That's Spirit-led evangelists. And I don't know if you know it or not, but like 1 million people come to Jesus Christ in that one crusade. 1 million people. This guy said that not only was the town changed, the entire state, the entire government never changed. Everything was changed in that revival. How many think we need revival? Well, I guess with all this stuff I was going through, I got to thinking about revival. I'm going to tell you something weird that happened to me. And this is where this came at. I went to that dentist, and they said I had an abscess tooth, and I didn't know it. They had already fixed it and put a crown on it, charged me a bunch of money. And then they said, well, something wrong happened, and they needed to send me to a specialist in Cookeville. And I checked on it, it was going to take me like 3 weeks to get in. I said, I don't want this abscess tooth for 3 weeks. And then Jim Galford told me about a dentistry there in Cookeville. He said, this is where I go, and it's total sedation. You won't even know. And so I'm not wise. I used his recommendation. And then somebody else told me, so I had two. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, well, I've already got an appointment. So I'm sitting there Friday, and I'm going, man, I want to get this. This is Friday a week ago. And I just call down there. And I said, well, if this is a good dentist, it's going to be further out in 3 weeks. So I call him and go, yeah, we could see you. I said, when, though? They said, well, actually, I mean, if you can come on down here, we had somebody counsel. I mean, just right before you called. And I said, well, I'm headed that way then. So I got in the car and I headed to Cookeville. And they set me down. When I get there, this beautiful, young, very attractive, blonde-headed, a dental assistant was there, and she said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Crossville. And she goes, well, my grandpa lives in Crossville. And I said, he does. And she said, I said, well, what's his name? I know quite a few people in Crossville. She said, his name is John Fronning. I said, well, I'm John Fronning's pastor. That was three. Go, man. Bob said, I kind of felt like I was on a roll, that God had led me to that dentistry, Hayes Dentistry. And so she told me and done all these things, you know, and put me in that scanner thing. And she said, yeah, your tooth, you don't need a root canal. You're going to have that taken out. And there's going to have to be an implant and all that stuff. And told me everything the dentist. Well, then the dentist, you know, he gets the big buck, but he walk in and goes, yeah, she's right. That's what you're going to have done. And I said, well, when can I get it done? And he said, well, I think you could get on the Monday schedule if you're willing to come early. And I said, put me down. So I called, they said, come Friday, and I had a dental appointment for Monday. This was this last Monday. And so I get in there, and I'm scared to death of a dentist anyway, especially any major work. So they set me in this chair, they take me in, and she tells me, all right, it's going to be total sedation, so what we're going to do, this was on Monday, said, we're going to put this thing over your nose, and we're going to give you this laughing gas. You ever had laughing gas? I said, no, I've never had it. And they said, well, we'll just tell you to exhale and then breathe in that gas. And then we'll tell you to do it. And you, the thing is about the gas, you know, we had you fill out all your paperwork and you paid us before you come in here. This gas will cause you, you won't even remember getting up from this chair. You won't ever remember, you know, people has come back and called us and said, hey, I didn't give you no money when I came out. And they said, yes, you did. You paid for it by credit card. And they go, well, then they realize they need to take the money before because you don't remember anything after. They said this. I said, well, what does this gas do? They said, it kind of makes you feel euphoric. You're just like, oh, it just feels so good. And you just kind of float around the room. And they said, you just kind of forget about everything. And you just feel happy. And I said, well, give me some of that gas then because I don't want to feel. And so they told me to breathe in. I didn't feel nothing. They said, well, do it a couple more times. So I breathe in. About the third or fourth or fifth time I breathed in, like, oh, boy, it feels good now. I just felt like I kind of just floated up out of the chair and just kind of floated, and I was floating in slow motion. And they had this flat-screen TV with this, I thought it was a movie of Finding Nemo, but actually it was just a, it wasn't even a movie. It was like a, it was just a aquarium, you know. I never did find Nemo. And but it was awesome. And so I get back, and they had to have somebody go with me. So my wife had several appointments already scheduled with parents because never dreamed I'd have a get in that early. So she said, I really need to catch these, but I can probably call and get off. And I said, no, I'll see if my sister, Deanna, can take me. So Deanna took me to the dentist on Monday. That was the scariest part of all, right there. She's not here, so I can say that about her. But I went to the dentist, and so I called into the church, and I said, here's my scriptures I won't put on the flat screen for Sunday. They said, you think you're going to do it? And I said, I think I'll be all right. And I said, I'm going to be doing this, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I said, I'm going to use that because that euphoric feeling of being high to get your teeth out. And you know, Jesus comes to some disciples and he said, receive you the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them. And I've heard of people, they say, exhale out all your troubles and inhale the fullness of the Spirit. Exhale all your troubles and inhale all your, you know, and I'm like, well, give me that heavenly bong then, you know. But it was, so I got to think about that. If the Bible would have been written in this day, it could have been written about drugs or something, but in biblical times it was wine. So it said, don't be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. So I got this idea, and Sherry goes, well, you already used the film that was made of you at the dentist. And I go, there wasn't no film made of me at the dentist. She said, yeah, there was. I said, there was no video made of me. It was made of you on your way home. And I got, no, there wasn't. So then I got to thinking. My sister was with me, and they said, you don't remember. You don't remember. How many has ever been to a party, and you got some pictures on, and you don't remember those pictures? You don't. You were there. It's you in the picture. And you were saying and doing things, but you didn't know it at the time. Well, Sherry said there is a video, and so they got this video, and they're going to show it right now. So you got to forgive your pastor. Watch this. It's all Jim Galford's fault. Back it up there.
The driver over there, Deanna.
It says I'm of a sound mind. That right there is a lie.
Sedated. Coming home from the dentist, I've got a sound mind. There's the driver over there, Deanna. She's kind of sedated. But I'm not sedated. Woke up feeling good.
Tell them they gave you laughing gas.
They gave me some laughing gas, but the dud, and every night it'd make me laugh one time. Now I'm gonna go home. They said I could have some milkshake on the way home or something to drink.
I ain't nobody home up there.
Said I couldn't be riding no horses for 2 weeks.
He said you can't work for 2 weeks.
Said I could not do no dishes, no vacuuming. And somebody needed to bring my food. Everything knock out and wouldn't be able to preach for 3 months. And they said I could fish pretty good. And I asked them, could I play the piano? And they said, yeah. I said, well, I couldn't before I'd done the surgery. And I asked them, what else can I do? And they said, anything you want to do. And I said, well, it's this big wad of stuff coming out of my mouth. They said, well, you spit it out.
She said you can have an ice cream if you wanted.
I can have an ice cream?
Yeah.
I can have an ice cream. I don't know how I'm going to eat it with these galls in my mouth. I think when I get home, we'll go to sleep. Yeah, it's driving me home. The only scary thing so far on the whole thing. Okay, I'm signing out now before my gas and my laughing gas starts kicking in.
And then it made them laugh.
And all the doctors are laughing. I think they got the laughing gas. I think I just got regular gas. They put some oxygen in my nose and everything. And I kept seeing these fish over my head for TV. All right, peace out. See you when I get better. Bye.
I guess I'll be going somewhere on Thursday night. Oh, my God. How many be honest? I mean, if I can be honest enough to be like that, how many's in this building right here has ever been drunk before? Raise your hand. Well, look at there. The thing is, I like for Roger to come up. Is he here? In here? No. Teresa too. They're going to help me with an illustration. I've heard that Roger was drunk before. But you know, if you saw this on Facebook, you see somebody and they're got a lampshade on their head. They've got you start wondering about somebody. Here's your jug, and you go, this guy did not take that picture without some help from some friends. And with friends like that, who needs enemies, right? Well, the thing is, when you're drunk, it's not that you're not kind of you're in the moment, but you're not in the moment. You're like, you're just kind of there, but you're not there. And it's not until later that you find out all the goofy things you've done. So what we're saying about when someone is high or drunk, they're under an influence that is not their normal influence. And so if you read this passage in Ephesians, you'll say, God talks about in Ephesians 5, there is coming some evil days. And he said, in evil days, you're going to have a tendency to prefer to go through those evil days sedated. Winkney Prattney, I was in teaching a conference in Dallas, Texas, and Winkney Prattney was there from over in Britain or somewhere, and he was teaching, and during that time, Nancy Reagan was doing this campaign, Just Say No to Drugs. And he goes, I'm not against that. I think we ought to do all we can for the drug epidemic and all that stuff, but just saying no is not enough. He said, there's a reason that people take drugs. He said, if it was that simple, just tell yourself, just say no. Then next time you go to the dentist, you just tell them to go ahead and yank them all out, and you're not sedated, you don't take no shots, you don't do anything. The reason you do that, you don't want to be in the pain. He said the reason people self-meditate, they get drunk, they get high, whatever, use prescription pills, whatever you do. We don't want the pain. We're living in a world full of pain. You ever went to, I already know that you have, so you don't have to hide it now. You ever been to a party and you get there and I don't much care to go to that party because I don't like that one guy there. I hate his guts. Well, you say like if I'm going to a party and Roger's there and I hate Roger's guts. Well, after a little while with a little sedation, a little wine, pretty soon me and Roger, we're buddies. I love Roger. He's my best buddy. He's like my best friend. I love you, Roger. I
love you, dude.
All right, Roger, you can be seated. I don't love you that much. But the thing I'm saying, there used to be a thing that we grew up in church, and we used to sing this song. How many ever heard that song, Give Me That Old Time Religion? I don't know that it was in the original lyrics, but eventually it got to be one of the added-on choruses to Give Me That Old Time Religion. And what that song said, Give Me That Old Time Religion, because it makes me what? Love everybody. Give me that old time religion because it makes me love everybody. How many thinks we could use a little bit more love in this world? I mean, there was a time during the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you think it's hard for the Republicans and Democrats to get along, I think it's pretty remarkable. We got about 23 different denominations. People go here, and we fairly get along pretty good. We don't have as much problem with religion here as we do Democrat and Republican. The other thing is, when you think about that, the love. But when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, it was so powerful that these people were loving each other. The Jews ended up loving the Gentiles. What's up with that? I just love them Gentiles. They got the best food. That's what Peter said when he was down at one of the Gentiles. There is nothing like roasting a big old pig. He was into it. But until he got back to the Jews and they go, you were down there eating pork? Yeah, God told me to. Sure he did. But eventually they realized that didn't matter. And so the Jews and the Gentiles got. And the Samaritans, they used to call the Samaritans dogs. We're not going through that town. That's a bunch of dogs live down there. That's the Samaritans. He said, we're going through that town. And even the Samaritans. And the gospel was to go to the Jews and to the Gentiles and the Samaritans, to the othermost parts of the world. The only thing that's ever helped our nation get together to start with is Christianity. You can't be prejudiced and be filled with the Spirit. No, 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 no. You can't be full of hate and be full of the Spirit at the same time. And folks at home this week, that's some of the things the Lord showed me. I really feel like the Lord spoke to me this week. We got to get back to being full of God to the point. He told the disciples, they were, you know, moping around crying because he was fixing to leave. And he goes, hey guys, this is in John's writing. He said, hey guys, in John 14 and 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Keep the commandments. And I'll ask the Father. I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to help you, a comforter. And he'll be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. If you read all down, and I'm trying to hurry today, but he tells them, it's far better for me to go away. I'm going to go to the right hand of the Father. I'm going to ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not less than, he's equal to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not left out here hanging in left field because we're living in this dispensation of the Holy Spirit. He said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to bring to you the access of the Father. The Holy Spirit's not going to talk about itself. The Holy Spirit's going to talk about me. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that gave the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is going to enlighten you, teach you the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is going to come to you. He's going to lead you and guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit is going to be there. He's going to be a comforter. I'm not going to leave you orphans. The Holy Spirit's coming to you. And it's far better that the Holy Spirit come. And he told them, he breathed on them. He told them to go tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued from power from on high. So there's power with the Holy Spirit. There's guidance with the Holy Spirit. And he said, I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, this thing right here about being filled, this passage of Scripture here, be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some translation, and if you go back to the original Greek translation, it says, be being filled. In other words, being filled is not a one-time application, which is very similar to being drunk, right? It's not a one-time, you got to keep taking it, right? Have another one. You ever seen anybody so aggravating? I've seen, I've heard. Someone so aggravating, you just say, hey, have another shot. What you want to do is just put them out because they're aggravating. You can't stand them halfway there. Either get totally drunk or get out of here. Being drunk or be filled, we want you to be so filled with this influence that you love everybody. We want you to be so filled that you'll even love a Gentile, that you'll even love a Jew, that you'll even love a Samaritan. We want you to be so filled with the Spirit, you're going to love everybody. We want you to be so filled with the Spirit that you can get rid of your bitterness, that you can get rid of your hurt, your unforgiveness, your abuse in society. We are, once again, like we were in the 60s, we're at a drug-infested epidemic of opioids and just prescription drugs of all kind. And we can't say, well, that's the old people on the back side of the corner. No, these are people right uptown. These are people that you probably do business with every week. They dress up a lot nicer, but they're just as high as the person on the other side of the track. They're just as messed up. They may be flying your airplanes. They may be the ones doing business or your banking. They're all around us. Why? Because people are hurting. It don't matter how much money you got, whether you hurt or not. You can be totally out, or you can have all kind of money. You can be the upper outer or the down and outer, and you could be trying to sedate because you're hurting in life. Marriage not going right. Job not going right. Children don't love you no more. It hurts to live in this world. This is an evil world. So I've asked Teresa, even back years ago, Pastel said that each one of us has a heart-shaped vacuum. When Adam and Eve sinned, at that moment, that the Spirit, the enlightenment of God went out in them, and they were like walking, they were like the zombie walking dead nation. Walking dead, they're walking around, but they're empty. The Bible even talks about someone who had the devils cast out of them. And he said, you can go and you can sweep that out and clean it after the devil's been there. But if you don't put something in it, the devil will come back and he'll bring some other devils with him. So you can't be an empty vacuum and not expect something to fill it. Well, you know what fills it today? I want you to yell out a hurt in life. Teresa's going to help me. Yell out one. What?
Death of the mother.
Death of a child. That's hard to ever get over. Somebody in the first service said that she moved here to retire. And I think she's only here 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And her husband passed away. Didn't even know he had cancer. She was hurting this morning in the first service. Our hearts went out to her. We hugged her and prayed for her. Teresa took back and prayed. Wonderful woman. But can you imagine the hurt she feels? The future she had planned? The death of a child? How do you get over the death of a child? Death of a spouse? And really, that is absolutely true. You don't get over it. You try to get through it. You just get through it. There's a boy in Florida, and he's in jail, and everybody hates his guts, and I understand why. But there's a boy that had a vacuum. His mom and daddy gave him up. They didn't want him. He was done over and done in all his life. Finally, somebody, I don't know probably how many homes he was in and passed around. And, you know, a lot of people will take you in a home as a foster child as long as they're getting money, but they don't ever want to adopt you because the money stops. And so this kid, I don't know how many times he was passed around, but he had a lot of hurts. He probably had some anger. You think he might have been filled with anger? Forgiveness? Abandonment? Then he finally got some parents and they died. And then he has to find somewhere to live. Don't you ever think that boy woke up and goes, what in the world's wrong? Why can't I get a break? Some of you know, James and Kim and some of these knows, we used to have this youth camp we done. And you'll remember a guy named Wade. We had the kids up telling about their youth camp experience. And it's pretty amazing to hear kids tell about going to camp. And they come back just like we do in the live youth. They go, I went to this thing and I was so wonderful. He said, I was just so full of God and the love of God. And God healed me and God forgave me. And I was so mad at my mom and dad. And I just love them. And I hated this kid at school and I don't hate him anymore. And, you know, it's just this whole thing. And these kids are just crying their eyeballs out, giving their testimonies. We let them all give their testimonies like we do kind of for winter conference. I'll never forget there was a guy there. I don't even know if he's around anymore. I don't know if he's alive anymore, but I'm not saying this to put him down in any way. But at the time, Wade was really down on his luck in life, and he was living in a van. Kind of like you hear the story, living in a van down by the river. But he was living in a van, and he was there in the service, and these kids were giving their testimony. And then right in the middle of the service, he stands up, and he starts screaming and yelling and cursing and goes out the door. And when he opens the door, it wasn't here at another building. The door hit the backside and made a loud sound. Went out there, and he revved up his engine, and you could hear him squealing away. And he went around the building, coming back around, and came up near that. We thought he was going to run into the building. And finally, we got to him and got him back in, and we took him in a side room and go, Wade, what's wrong, man? What are you doing? What's going on? This is not how you act. And he is raging mad, foaming at the mouth mad. He goes, why? Why did I never get a life that? Why didn't I ever have somebody care for me? Why didn't I ever get to go to camp? Why didn't I ever get to feel what they're feeling? Why? Why? And all we could do is grab him and hug him and say, I don't know why, Wade, but God loves you right now. There's people hurting in this world. Don't ever look down your nose at anybody that's addicted, ever. You're probably just one or two bad hurts from being addicted yourself. You just don't know it. We're living in a broken, damned, destructive, evil world. And he said the only answer for it is be filled with the Spirit. I never got that. Why did Jesus keep saying, Filled, get filled. You got to get filled. Don't even leave Jerusalem until you get filled, because if we don't get filled with something from a heavenly nature, we're going to get filled by something that's not. And when you get filled with anger, you may just take a gun to school and shoot a bunch of people. You may take your own life. You may harm someone because you can't take life no more. And so I want Teresa, if that's our soul, what sometimes goes into our life? Some of you said hurt, the loss of a child, the loss of a mom. What's some other? Divorce. Is that what I heard? Yeah. Others? Addictions? Car accident, somebody said. What's some others? Abandonment? Loss of a child? Others? What? Right. Job? You got a lifelong job that you wanted and you desired, and you get to the point you should have been promoted and they get rid of you. It causes bitterness, hurt. Bible said, don't let bitterness stay down in you. If bitterness stay down, it'll spring up. It'll start bringing more bitterness. Just like that demon, if it's you sweep it out, they're going to bring some more because there's a lot of empty space there. There's a lot of room for some destructive things, some destructive demonic personalities to come because you're an empty vessel. You're just a vacuum. When Adam and Eve, when they sinned, something left them and they had a vacuum. And guess what? The devil entered that vacuum and began to be their influencer of life. That's why Cain killed Abel. Folks, you can outlaw everything you want to outlaw, and I don't want to be on either side of this issue, but you can outlaw everything you want to outlaw, and people will find a way to take their hands and put around somebody's neck and choke them to death. We've got to get rid of what this emptiness is in people's hearts. A friend of mine wrote a song, and he kind of was I went and played with him in a few clubs. I played my saxophone, and his name was Mickey Burgess. He wrote a song, The Emptiness Within. He said there's an emptiness in the heart of man that he don't understand. He said at an early age, smoking cigarettes, the emptiness inside he tries to fill. After smoking every brand, he realizes not one can fill the bill. Turns to the liquor, beer, then the whiskey. And soon he'll drink anything that'll give him a high and help him forget about the emptiness within. Realizes that that's not enough. So thinking there is something better than the use of drugs, he would start. The drugs take control of him, leads him deeper into sin, because he just don't understand. Only the love of God above can fill the emptiness within. Only the love of God above can fill the emptiness within. I had got saved and I was doing youth ministry, and I asked him to come to our youth service and sing that song. And he done it as a favor to me because I'd went and played with him and stuff, and he gets up there and he's singing that song. Tears rolling in his eyes. Singing in church about the emptiness within. He puts down his guitar. He kneels down at the altar and gives his heart to God. Because he knew firsthand that only the love of God above can fill the emptiness within. Paul said, even in religious endeavors, Paul said he was trained under the feet of Gamaliel. In Romans 7, he goes, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, that's what I do. And I don't understand. I'm supposed to be a Christian, but I'm just fulfilling the lust of the flesh all the time. And he talked about I and me and my. And Jesus said when he talked about the Holy Spirit being a person, when he comes, he'll lead and guide you in all truth. When he comes, he's going to give you power to deal with these things in your life. When he comes, you need him. When he comes, when he gets there, the Holy Spirit's going to be your helper. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to be your guide. He's going to help you get some of these things out of your life where you can breathe again, where you can live again, where you can quit hurting. When he gets there. And I started realizing when I got this thought come to me about doing this, I got to get rid of me if I'm going to get he in my life. If I'm going to get him in my life, there's got to be less of me. In Romans 7, personal pronouns about I, me, or my, 32 times in one chapter of Romans 7. He ends there in the next to the last verse, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You'll find in the last verse, he said, only Jesus Christ can deliver me from this body of destruction, this emptiness, this void. Only Jesus can do it. Only Jesus can do it. And he cried out to Jesus, and he cried out to Jesus. What happens? He has this moment with God. In Romans 8, it starts out, "There is now no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit." In Romans 8, he does not use me, my, or I, or none of the personal pronouns. He does not use a personal pronoun, not one time in Romans 8. You go from using it 32 times in Romans 7, you don't use it at all in Romans 8. Tell me the Holy Spirit don't inspire the Word of God. And he says in Romans 8, he uses the word Spirit 22 times. He said, led by the Spirit, in the Spirit, of the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. How many knows if you're led by the Spirit to some demonic place, the devil's in trouble? Because the Spirit's not going to lead you for a defeat. He's going to lead you for victory. Jesus went out there and the devil was tempting Jesus with things that Jesus was going to do anyway. Set up your kingdom. I'll make you this. I'll make you that. Jesus said, yeah, but you're wanting me to do it your way, in your will, in your time. And that's not the will of the Father. And I'm not going to be led down that road. The problem with Jesus wasn't empty. Jesus was full of the Spirit. And he said the devil couldn't do anything with him because he couldn't find any place in him. You'll find that same thing. The Apostle Paul said, the devil found no place in me. There's not any room in me for him. He was filled with the Spirit. The early church, you'll read the book of Acts, and over and over and over again, it says they were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. It's an ongoing process. It's not a one-time deal. You got to, just like if you're going to be drunk, you got to keep drinking, right? Drink another cup. Have another one. And so we find in Ephesians 5, he tells us, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery or drunkenness. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms. So I got it then, what Paul is saying here. Here's how you get filled. Here's how you get filled. You get filled by speaking to one another. In other words, encouraging one another. Like you come to men's group, women's group, different activities at church. Come on Sunday morning. You hear the word. You get a little bit of filling. You get a little bit more. I'm going to tell you, back a long time ago, we had a lot more time than we do today. And we used to have a lot of drinking sessions, if you know what I'm talking about. We come Sunday morning, Sunday school. We then had church. Then we come back Sunday night. Then we went Wednesday night. And then we had revival. And revivals, it's just a continual several weeks of drinking of the Spirit. But we loved a lot of people a lot more back then. We were more full of Him. How many of you ever met somebody, you go, that person's full of it. That person's full of himself. They're full of it. Yep. If you're not full of God, you're going to be full of something and it's not going to be good. Why is there so much divorce? Why is there so much division? Why is there so much hatred in our society today? Our nation has not been filled by God's Spirit. How do you get filled? He said, speaking to one another in psalms. I got to thinking about what this said to me, and I've said, that's right. I've been sitting around the house this week. Sometimes you get so busy working for God, you don't have time for God. I was sitting at home, and I was listening to hymns. I was listening to songs from the Spirit. I was singing and making music in my heart. I know an evangelist friend that's doing a revival in Lebanon. About every night I've watched some of his revival. Bruce Scotton is a black man that me and him worked together for, run revivals together. Mighty man of God. He's got the Bible just about memorized. He'll just start off and I've watched that. I got another friend of mine named Bubba, lives in Lebanon area. That's both of them are fairly close to the same area of the state. There's another revival by Merge Church. I'll watch some of that. So what I got to realize, okay, I'm at home, I'm bored, I'm listening to gospel music, I'm reading my Bible, I'm watching sermons on Facebook, I'm listening to the songs, I'm reading my word. And I didn't realize it, but I was getting intoxicated a little bit with the Spirit. What I mean by that, I was getting where it just made me want to love everybody. It made me want to get back to church with my staff. It made me want to get back in the pulpit. It made me just want to love God. It made me want to praise God. Then by Friday, Billy Graham on there, and it's a funeral for God's sake, and I'm getting anointed during the funeral. This is the most powerful funeral I've ever seen. Ann Graham Lotz, what a powerful thing she shared there. And I'm thinking, you know, that's the way it is, the Spirit. We come here and we barely can pay attention to even receive from God because we're not full of the Spirit. And yet, when you get full of the Spirit will teach you while you're watching something. You can be watching on TV and the Spirit goes, yeah, that's why you're having that problem. You're not living right. Or you can be going down the road and God says, you see that right there? That's why you need to be careful. Or God starts talking to you. Don't you just love God? Don't you just... And it's like the Holy Spirit, if you will let him be full in your life, he will teach you all the time. You'll wake up in the middle of the night and he's teaching you. And the more you do that, we have so many opportunities today to be full of the Spirit. He said through songs, through hymns, through spiritual songs, the word, you can get on your phone right now and you can watch sermons until you fall asleep tonight. You can listen to devotions. Our staff here, they're always giving you suggestions of how you can get another Bible study. The staff people I know that's growing strong in the Lord, they are part of two or three Bible studies a week online. I know you don't have enough time to just stop your life and do nothing, but I'm telling you, God wants us to be filled. So I was thinking about that, how important this was, and here's our life, and Teresa's wrote these things that bitterness and selfishness and greed and pride and anger. And we've got a whole lost parent, lost child. And then he said, be filled and continue to be filled. I thought, I got this idea. And I was thinking, well, what if, you know, we get up in the morning and we go, well, I'm going to listen to an old hymn that touches my heart. So we watch a little bit of a hymn, you know. Well, that song they used to sing at our church, that just floods my soul. I love that hymn. Then I hear a praise song that our worship team are doing, and I'm going, man, I love that song. That just stirs me up. Uh-oh, something happened. I better check on what happened. You start checking on what happened, you see like, well, some bitterness came out or some unforgiveness came out. I said, man, I'm feeling a little bit better today. And then you decide to read your Bible, and you're reading your Bible, and you get a little bit more of the Spirit. What else fell out, Teresa? There's a bunch of them. So some other stuff starts coming out of your life. You start like, oh, I'm feeling better. I can breathe now. I just feel so good today. This has been a good day. Then you just keep on. And it's not a one-time feeling. You just keep being filled. So I get up Tuesday morning. I get a little bit more. Teresa, I'm going to let you just finish off. Sometimes other people will help you get filled. Sometimes they'll tell and share with you where they're coming from when the Lord. These things that she's poured that's fallen out, these are some of the things you said that you wish you didn't have in your life. And you've tried most of your life to get rid of them. You can't get rid of them. What if all it took to get rid of them is to get filled with the Spirit? He said if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit, you don't have any room. You know, if the devil comes and he tries to, it just kind of bounce off. You bounce off the top of the water there because you're filled with the Spirit. And see that clearness, that transparency? The Bible says that when we get filled with the Spirit, that he says it's the pure in heart that will see God. How do you get pure in heart? You get filled with the Spirit. God washes all that out. He fills you up with his presence. You're so full of God. You're so full of the Spirit. You start thinking about God. You start hearing songs about God. You hear other things on the radio. You just, You know, David, the psalmist David, one time he was full of all this stuff. He was full of adultery. He was full of all kind of sin and things in his life. He was full of murder because he was ashamed of his sin. He was full of all these things in his life. And David said, "Where's the Lord? I can't even feel the Lord no more. I can't even see the Lord. Where are you at, God?" He started blaming God. God said, "David, I have not left you. I'm all with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But your sins have separated you from me." It's the pure in heart that see God, not the filthy in heart, not those that are full with all these works of the flesh. And you know what? David, when he really repented of committing adultery with Bathsheba, when he really repented of having her husband murdered, when David really got all that anger and hate and the loss of his child out of his system, and, you know, he didn't get over it, but he got through it, and God began to minister to David. David got so pure in heart that the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. David got so close to God that it says that David, he would see God anywhere. David would be out and he'd be taking care of sheep, just like his regular old daily job, taking care of a bunch of stinky sheep. And he'd think, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. I don't have to want because he's got me full up. I'm full. He prepares a table before my enemies. He calls me to love my enemies. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I've got it made. I've got the best job in the entire world. I just love being a shepherd. Why? His attitude was different. He was full of God. He wasn't full of hate. He wasn't full of bitterness. He wasn't full of adultery. He wasn't full of lust. He was full of God. And he could sense God. David said, "If I see a big old rock, that rock reminds me that I can be in the cleft of the rock with God." He said, "If I see a big old green field, it reminds me that God owns that field and he owns the cattle of a thousand, owns the cattle of a thousand head on that field. He's my shepherd. He's my Lord." In other words, David, the more he emptied himself of him and the more he got full of God, the more he was teachable, available. Some people call this script, you got to get drinkable. You got to get fillable. And that's why I think the old time when America used to call itself back to repentance and we got out and we prayed, it's not that you got to cry a lot to be saved, but you do got to empty yourself. And America's pretty full of itself right now. But when people used to get down on their knees, the guy from North Korea, he said he went back there and he saw Billy Graham down on his knees crying for Korea, begging God to save that country. Billy Graham, one time he had so prayed for a revival, the rain come, and you go, that's just like the devil. You do all this work, pay all this money, build all these tents, and the night you're going to have it, it rains. Billy Graham stood up there and he goes, "I know we got bad weather tonight. I'm not going to hold you. But I would not have obeyed God if I didn't do this." He told him to play that song, "Just As I Am." He gave an invitation and the thousands of people come to Jesus. Billy Graham realized that it wasn't him that brings people to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that brings people to Jesus. When he comes, he will not speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. He'll reveal me. He'll show people me. He'll cause them to repent of their sins. He'll cause them to turn. He'll cause them to repent. Billy Graham never again had to worry about the next campaign. All he had to do is stay on his knees. You know, the Bible says James in Scripture, James was one of the early overseers. They called him camel knees. He prayed so much he had calluses on his knees. Philippians says that think on these things which are pure and honest and holy and pure. That's how you get full of the Spirit. Some of you from the Pentecostal background, you know, the big thing comes, do you have to speak in tongues? I personally don't believe you have to speak in tongues. I know people that are highly filled with the Holy Spirit that's never spoken tongues. Do some people speak in tongues? Absolutely. Paul said, "I speak in tongues more than y'all." See, instead of having something to be division over in Scripture, why don't we just say, "Hey, you want to speak in tongues? You speak in tongues. You don't want to speak in tongues? You don't want to speak in tongues." If God don't lead you to do it, don't do it for God's sake. You'd be out of God's will to do it if you're not supposed to do it. If you're supposed to do it and you don't do it, you're going to be out of God's will. Forget all that division. Can we believe in the basics of the Apostle Creed? Do we believe in the Father? Do we believe in the Son? Do we believe in the Holy Spirit? Do we believe the Bible is inspired? Do you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin birth? That's the essentials of the gospel that we need to get back to. And then we need to quit bitten and biting and bickering over little side issues. And we need to be the body of Christ, for God's sake. Our own churches don't get along in this town. We can't stop and help our community because none of us get along together. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, yeah, it was the worst of times and the best of times this week for me. I'll never fear the dentistry anymore. I don't even remember it. I kind of look forward to the next thing I got to go for. It was amazing. But you know what's better than being filled with laughing gas? Being filled with the Spirit. I remember a lot of times getting up from an altar of prayer and looking out. It don't matter. I could have had an argument with my dad, and I get up. I love my dad. I love my mom. I love my brother, and I love my sister. I love my pastor. And I could honestly say, getting up under the influence, and after God filled me and got rid of some of myself, my self-centeredness, I got pure inside. I could see God was trying to work. Made me love everybody. I want to repent today of being a pastor that for some time now has not been a Spirit-filled, led pastor. And I think it's not for me to say, but I got a feeling if you would examine your own life, and it's not for me to do, the Holy Spirit will reprove you of sin. So I invite you, Holy Spirit, to walk through this place. You're certainly capable and able to convict us of our being full of ourselves. But I personally, I'm not telling you what you need, but I want to repent of not being fully filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to repent of being too full of self. I want to take time every day to fill up on the Spirit, that this garbage in life that keeps us bound has no place to dwell. And I, like Paul and like Jesus says, devil, you ain't got no place in me. There's no room for you. I'm full of the Spirit. That's why he said, be filled and keep being filled. In other words, he compared it to drinking. If you're going to be drunk, you got to keep drinking. But that's not the best way to get over your pain. The best way is to be full of the Holy Spirit. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Can we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know what all you're doing in the pulpits across America today, but I do believe that you're calling America back to revival. You're calling us back to repentance. You're calling us back to filling, being filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got way too much negativity in this country. We've got way too much hatred. We got way too much injustice. We got too many people don't like each other. They don't love one another. Too much divorce, too much drugs, too much crime, too much killing. Oh, if we could just come back to you, if we could just open our hearts and be filled by you, these things would not matter anymore. We can't be full of God and prejudice at the same time. We can't be full of God and full of hate at the same time. God, just as I am, Lord, I come to you today. Help me empty myself of myself and be full of you and your grace. I ask it today in Jesus' name.